What a desire, what a prayer in life or death. O Lord, abide with me. Of course, it's a joy to know that God himself tells us and promises us in his word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. What a joy to know that he is ever faithful. I'd like to encourage us this morning from the preaching of the word of God. Title of this morning's message, Spirit to Spirit. Spirit to spirit, you know, like how we would say heart to heart, you know, except this is not just a candid conversation between, you know, two friends, but more a truthful one-on-one interaction between God and us. And so let's go to Romans chapter 8. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 in the New Testament. Romans chapter 8. And verse 16 is our main verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. And amazing truth, wonderful promise from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Now this is speaking towards believers. And it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house today, Lord. May this truly always be a house of prayer, a house of worship, Lord, not by our own, you know, own thoughts and our own, you know, mind or our own schemes or devices, not by our own religion, but by your word through the Holy Spirit of God. And so, Father, what a joy that we can, in our good conscience, come to assemble today to worship you, the all creator, all powerful, almighty God. And so, Lord, we just ask, even now, if there's any wayward soul who has yet to believe only in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray, Father, even today they can be saved, they can be born again, they can be adopted into your family. Lord, we just ask that Holy Spirit of God have free reign. Lord, you know my desire to preach your truth. Hide me behind the cross, Father, that it only be your words that proceeded out of my lips. And so, Father, just touch hearts, Holy Spirit of God, just open our understanding to the scriptures. We ask in Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. It is so important. It is, not to say beyond important, but it is uber important. It is super important for Christians to understand God, the Holy Spirit, and how he ministers to us. Because this is how God interacts with us day in, day out. Too often we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit for his work, his ministry, what he does in our lives, you know, and sometimes I think it's my wisdom, my own figuring it out, you know, my own reasoning skills. It's not. Plus, when I think it's me, I rob God of his glory. Now, Christians need to recognize when God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to us. When we fail to do so, we're not just missing out on a blessing. It's downright dangerous. Because if God, the Holy Spirit, is not speaking to us, someone else will. Is it my own wicked imagination? Is it my own heart? I tell myself things all the time. How do I discern if it's God talking or if it's Satan talking? If it's my the world talking, if it's my flesh talking, how do I discern that? It's so important for us to know, because our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Don't trust your heart. Now the world says, you know, listen to your heart. Don't do that. The Bible says don't do that. Listen to God, right? Listen to God, listen to his word, and listen to the Holy Spirit. But we need to recognize when the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Rightly recognizing the Holy Spirit speaking to us will bless us. It will lead us, it will guide us, it will comfort us, it will strengthen us, and it will assure us. It's huge. You know, how would you feel if, I don't know, how would you feel if play along with me, if God FaceTimed you, right? You're like, oh, wow, you know, now this is kind of like that, but that much more. Okay, I just share these, you know, goofy examples for us to understand. God, the Holy Spirit, interacts and speaks with us throughout the whole day. It's just too often I'm caught up in my own self or, you know, doing my own thing, and it's kind of like background noise, elevator music, you know, kind of thing where you come out and like, hey, what song was playing? Oh, I didn't even know it was, you know. And so, you know, listen, we need ears to hear, spiritual ears. And so assurance of salvation is huge. And that comes hand in hand when we truly recognize and understand that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. God doesn't want us to doubt our salvation. Too many times Christians sometimes doubt that they're even saved. Because they think, well, maybe I didn't really believe enough, or maybe I didn't truly believe, or maybe I'm not this, I'm not that. Doubt has fear, fear has torment, and God doesn't want us to doubt our salvation. God doesn't want Christians to be second guessing our eternity. A Christian who is truly saved but unsure if they're saved is not having on their helmet of salvation. That helmet of salvation is the hope that you know so. The assurance that you're saved. You're saved, you're just not sure if you're saved. And God doesn't want that. And so we'll circle back to this verse in a bit, our main verse. But the first thing I need, you know, to understand, that God wants us to understand, is that He absolutely speaks to us. He does, okay? And just like we think of God speaking to Adam, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, or Moses, God speaks to us now again. A little spoiler here, it's not audible, okay? It's not actual decibels, okay? But He absolutely speaks to us. Let's go to John 16, kind of sets the stage here. Let's go to John chapter 16, back just a couple of books to John chapter 16. Jesus is telling the disciples this, but it applies to them, applies to us. So John chapter 16, and let's go to verse 13, and I want us to see what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. John 16, verse 13, because yes, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, absolutely speaks to believers. Look at what it says here. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, here He's called the Spirit of truth, same Holy Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth. How will He do that? For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He what? Speak, and He will show you things to come. The verbiage is important. Every word of God is precious. The Holy Spirit guides us as believers into all truth. All truth. How? By speaking to us. Wow, this is huge. And so we got our ears got to perk up here. There is no other way. Don't miss what the Lord is saying here. He guides us into all truth. Yes, but it is also exclusively only through the Holy Spirit. Outside of the Holy Spirit of God, and He leading us to all truth and speaking to us, we cannot receive truth. Don't have to turn there, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That means the only way we can discern and understand and get it is spiritually. We can't do it in ourselves. We can't do it in our flesh. We can't do it not even with our intellect or high IQ, okay? It's not an intellectual exercise to get saved. It's not how smart we are to understand scriptures. It comes from divine revelation from God. Okay, this is huge. Case in point, if you go to verse 12, it says here, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Okay, not that they, you know, because the Holy Spirit, Jesus didn't send him yet, okay, which is verse 13. But the disciples, even they couldn't, Jesus knew, no, you can't get it now. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you. And so that's going to be later. And the ministry, look at verse 14. The ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, His purpose, why He is here, is to glorify Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me when He comes, which He did on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. He's been doing that ever since. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. In fact, how many things? Look at verse 15. All things. Everything. All truth. So outside of the Holy Spirit of God, there is no truth that He reveals. Outside of the Holy Spirit of God speaking and leading us and guiding us to all truth, we cannot discern truth. All things that the Father hath are mine, the Son. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine, that's the Holy Ghost, and shall show it unto you. We have the Godhead right there, the fullness of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. So, the Holy Spirit of God, He speaks to us. We need to understand this. Sometimes you're not even at really comprehending this truth, but yes, he speaks to us, right? Now, how does he speak to us? And so, not to be Captain Obvious, okay, but the idea is the Holy Spirit, emphasize on Spirit. How does he speak to us? He doesn't speak to us physically. He doesn't speak to us carnally. He speaks to us spiritually. Duh, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to us spiritually. And so, but this means God does not speak to us like audibly with through our five senses. Okay, it's not going to be a sound that we hear. Okay, maybe that's just your someone pranking you. Okay, it's not going to be a sound your ears can physically hear. It's not going to be something I can physically see with my eyes. It's not a feeling. Okay, even though we do get joy from that and reassurance, that's wonderful. But God doesn't speak to us physically or carnally. That's just flesh. He speaks to us spiritually. Now, how does this play out in real life, right? Because I think, okay, I get that. The Holy Spirit obviously is going to speak to me spiritually. But how does this, if I'm just sitting there on a park bench praying to God, how is he going to actually literally speak to me spiritually? Well, through God's word. Okay, so let's go to John chapter 6 real quick. Since we're in the book of John, I was going to read this to us, but since we're in John, let's just go real quick to John chapter 6. We'll come right back. But John chapter 6, verse 63. Remember, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, right? And so look at verse 63. It says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth," that means to make alive, "the flesh," that means our flesh or any body, "profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit. And they are life." This is kind of a truth bomb here. Because Jesus Christ is saying he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the words that he speaks to us are spirit and they are life. Friends, when you read your Bible, it is unlike any other book ever written. Because it's not just ink on paper. It is the Word of God. It's spirit and truth. When you read your Bible, you are doing a spiritual activity. It is not just something that you can read as encyclopedia. You can read a textbook. You can read a history book. I never did that. Okay, but you can read. When you read the Bible, it is spiritual. It's life. And the words that Jesus spoke are spirit. In fact, the Bible calls the Word of God the sword of the who? Spirit, right? The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. So it's possessive. It's the sword that belongs to the Spirit. It's how the Spirit reaches us. It's how the Spirit cuts and touches us. It's with the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is not just spiritual. More than that, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, towards the end of the Bible, James, right before James, Hebrews chapter 4, it's speaking about the Word of God. Remember what Jesus said, the words that he speak, it's spirit and life. Life meaning it's living. It's alive. So look at this. Hebrews chapter 4. And then let's go to verse 12. Now, the Word of God describes itself. It says, "For the Word of God is quick." That's living. It's got essentially like a pulse. Okay. It's living. Okay. "And powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow." This is huge. So the Word of God is not a physical sword, but it is the sword of the Spirit. Where when look at this. Where does the sword of the Spirit hit? Where does it strike us? Where does it touch us? Look. "And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the" what? "Heart." So the words that Jesus speak, he said, "My words are life, and they are spirit," the sword of the Spirit. It is a supernatural sword that when we hear it, it cuts. Because, you know, we use the term, "I love you with all my heart." You know, is an expression. When we say heart, we really mean all of our being, right? All of our, my who I am, my soul. You're not really talking about the muscle, okay? You're talking about your being. And the Word of God is spirit and life. When we hear it, it cuts between the rib cage, right behind the sternum, and it gets not just to the physical, muscular heart, it gets to the soul and spirit. And so this is how we hear God speak, is through His Word, right to our heart. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to us through God's Word, straight to our heart, meaning our soul and conscience. Okay? Now, let's go back to John 16. Let's go back there. John 16. We just came from there. But let's go back to John chapter 16. Because I want us going to go look at some of the verses here. John 16, we were at verse 13 before, speaking about the Spirit of truth. He would lead us and speak to us. Okay. And so the first thing, the very first thing the Holy Spirit of God says to all of us is we need to believe in Jesus Christ. That is the first thing the Holy Spirit of God says to anyone and everyone. If you look at verse 8 of John 16, and when He, that's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And verse 9 explains very specifically what sin this is. It's not just, you know, it's not just telling a lie. It's of sin because they believe not on Me. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone. When everyone hears the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to their heart. The Word of God cuts their heart for their need to trust Jesus Christ. That is the Holy Spirit speaking. Your ears cannot hear it, but your soul can. This is a spiritual conversation. That the Holy Spirit, when it says reprove, it's to rebuke, it's to expose, it's to scold us for our need. God essentially guilt trips us. Now, we use the word guilt trip today in conversation, meaning you shouldn't be guilty, you just feel like you're guilty. But truly, the Holy Spirit literally guilt trips us because we are guilty. We are guilty of rejecting God. No one is born a believer, we are born unbelievers. I mean, it's not the baby's fault. Babies, kids don't believe anything. But as we grow up, we understand that, hey, there's a creation. That means there's a creator. I know that I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. And I sin. And then the Bible tells us the penalty, the wages of my sin is death. That's eternal separation from God. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. But I got to believe. And so at some point I realized that, wait a minute, I need to believe. And in fact, my testimony goes, when I was a teenager, when I read the Bible, every now and then I would say, well, I wonder what the Bible says. And then when I read in the book of Revelation that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, I was like, whoa. Is anyone else reading this? I mean, this is pretty big deal here. You know, and that was God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to my heart. I couldn't hear it in my ears, but I had the fear of God. I said, oh man, I better do something about it. Now, I didn't get saved then, but it made me aware that there's something that was not right with me. I want to make sure that my name was in the book of life, right? And so if you're here, if you're not saved, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to believe in Jesus Christ. It's very, very plain and simple to believe in Jesus Christ. We can only get saved by responding to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Again, through God's Word. It's not just ink on paper. It is spirit and it is life. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians, so right after Romans, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a big one. Verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go to verse 3. Notice what the Bible says here. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. You can't do that. The Holy Spirit of God will glorify Jesus. Certainly not going to call Jesus accursed, okay, to put Him down. Now, Jesus became a curse for us, but He is the Lord of glory. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord This means to say it and mean it. Okay, people can fake it all the time. Okay, but this is to truly say it and mean it and confess and believe in the Lord, but by the who? Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost reproves the world of sin. What sin? Because they believe not on Him, Jesus. And so it's, don't discount the ministry and the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit of God. It's getting saved, again, is not just agreeing with facts. You can tell me the first president was George Washington. I can believe that. Okay. But I'm not trusting in George Washington to bring me to heaven when I die. When someone says Jesus Christ is the Lord, you have to believe in Him. That's what He says about Himself. He was telling to Nicodemus, talking about Himself in third person. For God so loved the world, Jesus is saying this. He gave His only begotten Son, that's Himself. That whosoever, that's the invitation to be saved, is to anyone and everyone. But you got to receive it by believing. That's faith in His Word. Faith is not out there. Faith is believing what God has already said. Whosoever believeth in Him, that means you've got to trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not baptism, not communion, not confirmation, not church membership, nothing, and no one saves you but Jesus Christ. You've got to trust in Him as your Savior, and He saves you. That's it. When you trust in Him, you are born again by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's, praise God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so it's huge. Understand, the first thing that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to everyone is that we need to be saved by believing in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. This is awesome. So once we are saved, say that we're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, He continues to speak to us. Remember our opening verse in Romans? In John, it says He will guide us into what truth? All truth. And so when Scripture reveals, when we read in the Bible any truth, there are things that, you know, maybe you never considered, or we read in the Bible, and then we read the truth, and then when we are convinced it's a truth, when we recognize it a truth, when we go, for example, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down, right? When I read about this in Joshua, I read it. When I say, you know what? I believe that. That's not me in my human wisdom coming to that conclusion. That's the Holy Spirit of God guiding me like a parent holding a child, guiding me to that truth. The words that Jesus speak, they are life, they are spirit. And so you have this truth over here. A whale swallowed Jonah. A flood covered the whole earth. Any Bible truth. When we read it, the Holy Spirit of God takes our hand. Now we can refuse Him and like, no, don't want to go. But if we believe, if we accept it as truth, that's because we are hearing with spiritual ears what the Holy Ghost is speaking to us. This is huge, because when we understand the doctrine of the Holy Ghost and how He interacts with the believer, not to say He's invasive, okay, the whole idea is He indwells us. He lives in us. And too many Christians don't realize how close God is with us. Every day He interacts. When I read a truth, when I think of it, well, we'll get to that. So any truth that we think of, the second coming of Christ, Jesus Christ is coming back. Well, we don't know. We can't see, you know. But when we read in the Bible, He says He will. If you come to the conclusion that He is coming back, it's because the Holy Spirit of God led you to that truth. And you let Him let you. Right? Okay. And so this is huge. When we remember Scripture, when our mind thinks about it, that's the Holy Ghost speaking to us. Let's go to John 14. John chapter 14. This is wonderful. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is describing the Holy Ghost. He says, calls Him the Comforter. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And so, you know, if I see someone just sitting, kind of looking down and out, looking, you know, discouraged at the bus stop, and I'm sitting there and I think, and then all of a sudden I remember in my mind, The Holy Ghost is the comforter. God is the Father to the fatherless. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Preach the word to every creature. When I start remembering scripture, that's not my awesome memory. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to me. Because he wants me to comfort him. He wants me to be a blessing. We sang that song. He wants me to share the gospel to Jesus. He wants me to tell him hope in Jesus Christ. When we think of, whenever we recall to mind, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I lost my temper. That's the Holy Ghost speaking to us. When David cut Saul's skirt, God smote him in the heart. Not literally. Well, it is literally. Not physically literally, but spiritually literally. Right? And again, it's not just physical that's literal. Spiritual is just as literal, right? You can lose a loved one, and your heart breaks. I mean, you're not faking it. It literally is broken now. It's broken emotionally, spiritually, not physically. It's still beating. Okay, so the literal is not just physical. There is spiritual literal as well. Okay, and so that's huge. When we remember things, when we read the scripture and understand it, let's go to 1 John. So not John, but 1 John towards the end, right before Revelation. 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. Verse 27. God is a wonderful way of humbling us, to put us in our place, but then to praise him for how awesome he is. Okay, so 1 John chapter 2. Let's go to verse 27. Notice the word of God says here, but the anointing which ye have, it's all believers, received of him abideth in you. This is the promise to the special that we heard. O Lord, abide with me. Yes, he will abide with us. And ye need not that any man teach you. This is huge. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth, because he's the Holy Spirit of truth, through God's word, which is spirit and truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. When I read scripture, and then I get it, that's not my human smarts. That's the Holy Ghost teaching us. When it clicks, when we get it, that's God speaking to us by teaching us. When I remember something in a certain real-time moment, that's God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to me by bringing it to remembrance. When I read a truth and I believe it, that's God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to me by leading me by the hand to come to that truth. When we read the scriptures and are convicted of our sin, that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. This is my hero, the Apostle Paul. But notice, so Paul is definitely saved. Okay, so notice this is Romans chapter 7. Let's go to verse 7. Romans 7, 7. And so Paul is writing and he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God's commandments, are they bad? No, they're not bad. They're holy and perfect. It's just that the Ten Commandments reveals God's perfect standards. It's just that I'm bad. It reveals my sinfulness, and then God's perfect law condemns me as a sinner. And so the law is not bad, but I'm bad. It says, God forbid. So the law is not bad. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, he coveted anyway. And we covet anyway, but it's until God says coveting is wrong, they're like, oh, I'm a sinner. And so when we read the word of God, when we are convicted of our sin, thou shalt have no other gods before me, first commandment, and I have an idol in my heart, there's something in my life I put ahead of God. When I feel guilty about that, that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to us. Now, this is huge for us to understand this, because we're going to go all the way back to our opening verse in Romans chapter 8, actually, where we started, Romans chapter 8. And then if we go to verse 16, the Spirit itself, so God himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this is wonderful because Verse 16 is a super salvation assurance verse. The Holy Spirit, when it says beareth witness, to bear witness is to testify. Like if you're going into the court, you are vouching for something that's true. I mean, you're a witness on the witness stand. It already happened, but you're saying, yeah, I saw this happen. Okay, so you're witnessing, you're testifying. You're affirming, meaning you're proclaiming it, but you're also confirming that you're saying, yes, what happened, that's true, I saw that. This car hit that car. I was a witness, I was right there, I'm bearing witness to it. So, the Holy Spirit bears witness to us. How does he bear witness to our spirit? Now, spirit to spirit. So the Holy Spirit talks to our spirit, testifies to our spirit that we are a child of God. How? Because when he speaks to us, when he leads us, when he guides us, when he shows us, when he convicts us, these are all evidences that we are a child of God. This is awesome. An unbeliever does not have that spiritual struggle that a Christian has. I mean, this is huge. In fact, Paul, if you look at the previous Romans 7, go to verse 18, chapter 7, back one chapter, verse 18. This is what Paul, again, a model Christian, is what he says. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And so what Paul, you know, he wants to live for God. He desires to live for God. He wants to love Jesus with all his heart. But boy, it's awfully hard to do that. I want to do this. I want to witness to everyone. I want to read my Bible every day. I want to pray for 3 hours. You know, I want to do this, but oh, it's really hard to make myself do it. I mean, I want to. I'm being honest. I'm not faking it, but it's hard for me to get my body to do it. I can't, because in my body, there's nothing good. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, this is huge, because only a Christian has this spiritual battle that wages inside. An unbeliever has zero desire to live for God. There's no battle. They're just going one way. Going the way of the world, going the way of the flesh. Once we are saved, hallelujah, we are born again, so we have the Spirit of God in us. But our flesh is still alive. And so you go, now it's positionally dead. I get it. But we still have a pulse, okay? We're still living in the flesh, and so it tugs. Before we're saved, we're just going one way. Once we're saved, do what I want, do what God wants, do what my flesh wants, do what the Spirit of God wants. I shouldn't do this. Oh, I gave in, I sinned. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. 1 John 1, 9, Lord, forgive me. Yes, I forgive you, I love you. Okay, it's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Okay, I can serve God. Oh, but oh, I fell, I went this way. And so our life as a Christian is a constant battle. When I die and this flesh goes in the grave, woo! All the way here. Okay, but so lost person, all the way here, only the power of the gospel, because it's the word of God. It cuts into between the muscles, between the rib cage to the heart, and it saves us, right? And then we are born again, flesh is still alive, and tug of war. One day when we die, and this is what Paul is saying here: "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I mean, he couldn't wait to die, to shed this sin in his flesh, and then go to heaven. His true self, okay, his soul. Remember, the real you is your eternal soul. You, how does the saying go? You don't have a soul. You are a soul. You just have a body. And one day you're going to get a new body. Okay, but your body is never saved. Jesus didn't die for your body. He died for your soul, your eternal soul. And the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. I mean, this is he bears witness. And so when we understand what God is telling us, Romans 8:16, The Spirit himself bears witness, testifies that I'm a child of God because he speaks to me every day. When I believe the gospel, that's God showing it, leading me to it. All I have to do is surrender, is just yield. If I yield to the Lord, if I yield to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we can never go wrong. It's when I don't want to, right? Because Christians, we can quench the Holy Spirit. You know, we can lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Just obey, just submit. Only, again, the Christian faith, we win by surrendering. Because God takes care of it. It's a work of God. And then Nicodemus is like, wait, how can this be? And says, well, you know, we hear the wind. We can't explain it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. How can a sinner such as me, such as I, be born again and regenerated and then adopted into the family of God? How does it happen? I don't know. God does it. We are born out of the flesh. We are born not of the will of man, not of blood, but by the will of who? God. God did it. It's a supernatural work. I mean, it's awesome. But what a comfort, because sometimes, you know, when I struggle with sin, it's easy. When we struggle with sin, it's easy for us to think, well, maybe, why do I struggle with sin so much? Maybe I'm not saved. Paul struggled with sin. If we are not saved, you wouldn't struggle with sin because you'd be full tilt. You wouldn't even care that you're sinning. It is the Holy Spirit that says, oh, you're dragging me. This is my body. This is temple. And the Holy Spirit says, I don't want to go to the world. And when we commit fornication, we sinneth against our own body, which is his temple. And only a believer has this struggle. It's actually a wonderful proof that we are his. Spirit to spirit. When we understand just how much and how often God interacts, speaks to us every day, well, we get goosebumps. Like, man, you know, like what's, you know, but that's how personal he is, because he indwells us and he leads us to all truth. Hey, man, what a joy to be saved. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord, that by the Spirit of God, we can cry out to you, Abba, Father. Lord, what an awesome truth. We just need to say yes. We just need to submit. We just need to yield. And Lord, it's so easy, yet so hard, because I want to do it my own way. But Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your precious word. It is spirit. It is life. It is truth. And Father, we thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God who speaks to us, teaches us, guides us, comforts us, convicts us, seals us. Lord, and help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says. We ask in Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed.